Welcome to the One Up Project.
Money is fuel that allows you to do things. It doesn't need to be taboo.
What you don't want to do is wake up at 65 realizing you did something you hated and have regret.
Go and find people who will give you advice for nothing.
This is a space for personal growth and money chat with new perspectives every Monday.
This bit of content, listening to this, is going to be a small little breadcrumb of something that makes them think a little bit differently.
For all the things we were never taught but should have been.
At the end of the day, the most important person is yourself, and if you're not happy with your own choices, then you're never going to be happy.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the One Up Project podcast. I have a returning guest today, Ms. Tekahu Kura Boynton, who has founded Māori Millionaire in 2022 at 18 years old to help encourage a kōrero about financial literacy. I cannot believe I have known this beautiful girl for almost 2 years now. Oh, the things she has achieved in such a short amount of time. She is a representation of what I hope so many of us can do for others and do for our community. By documenting her own journey, she now leads a community of over 30,000 people. She's now 20 years old and working as a director of Māori Millionaire, as well as 30 hours at a law firm per week. And she's about to buy a house. She's literally doing it all. She's creating workshops and resources for all of us, which I'll have linked below. In 2022, she said it's about buying land back, not Gucci bags, which is a true demonstration of her ethos. Her perspective is one that I value, and she believes that financial independence will help uplift our communities, and I could not agree more with her. In this episode, we talk about investing, our investing styles, exactly what we've invested into, what we'll consider investing into, why not, how you can get started, the things you need to consider before you get into investing. Just a very holistic, well-rounded episode all about the investing basics from our perspective, of course. We also touch a little bit on gold. Now, Tekahu Kura and I are both educator partners with Goldie. Goldie is passionate about helping Aotearoa invest in real things like gold, art, and collectibles, soon to be. They are well aware that it is not possible for 99% of Aotearoa, and honestly you could probably extend this out globally, to invest and benefit from real high value things that high net worth individuals might be investing in, like gold, art, and collectibles. And we have a little bit of a conversation about that, alternative assets, etc. today as well, which should be quite interesting considering both of our investing styles are pretty risk adverse for the most part, compared to a lot of other people, I think. I will leave our referral codes and links down below if you're interested in trying them out, as well as all the other resources mentioned in this episode. I cannot wait to hear what you think. So grateful for your time. So grateful for Tekahu Kura. I know she will inspire and encourage so many of you today. So let's just get into it. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Tekahu Kura, thank you for being here. Second time on One Up. We are more than privileged, more than lucky to have you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's been an awesome morning chatting with you and interviewing you on my podcast. So that's been awesome. I'm having a good day. Excited to get into it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's been so nice to have like a couple of hours actually to just chat, both on the podcast and off in between. And yeah, it's so nice to do that, even though we're literally miles apart right now. So today we're going to have a bit of a conversation about our investing styles and how we go about doing that. I'm keen to know from your perspective, what are the key principles or philosophies that guide your approach to investing?
Yeah, so I really make sure that what I'm investing in is ethical. And that's something really important to me, because I know that some people don't really consider it. And I know that money is an ability to vote, and actually support the companies or the organizations that you really believe in. And so that's something important for me that I haven't always actually considered. When I first started investing, it was just looking at ROI and what I could get out of an investment. And I didn't really think about the real impact of putting money in places. And I think currently with, you know, politically and with the recession and things, I think now is like a really great time to actually look at your investments and where you're actually putting your money and what different benefits this is providing for people and who you're allowing to, you know, win from your money, essentially. So that's something really important at the moment that I'm looking at, and something that I'm considering a lot more that I didn't always consider. So that's been a growth thing for me, and I'm really happy that I've, you know, finally clicked on. And I think it was a few people commenting on some of my videos when I first started, and I was like, you know, I look at this investment and this investment, and people would comment, do you know that this company did this? And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. Like, and I actually had to go out and research it. And I was like, wow, Kahu, you really should, you know, really. And I always encourage people, research things before you invest in it. But when it was like a ETF or something that I didn't actually look at specific things in it, I was like, wow, like, follow your own advice.
Ethical investing it's become increasingly important to me over time. But I think when you're just getting started in investing, it can be really hard, right? Because you're working out, man, what do I even do, let alone like, how do I make sure my investments are ethical? But it's a journey I've gone on as well to figure out how I do that. And I'm still on that, very much so. Like, I don't, I'm trying to work out, how do we actually decide whether something is ethical or not? So how do you vet what you invest in to make sure something is ethical? Or what is your definition of ethical?
Yeah, well, I think ethical is really down to each individual and what they believe is right and just. And so for me, if it's a company that isn't inclusive or it isn't I feel like there's a lot of things you can tell when you look at the history of a company and some of the different things that they've done. You can see that there are funds that are able to vet these for you, and I think those are like some of the easiest ways to kind of get through it. Like there's one called Tahito, which is a Maori owned one in New Zealand that vets them for you, and they make sure that environmentally, you know, they're good and all of these things. And so I think those are some of the easiest ways to do it. But for me, it's about, would you be confident if you knew where your money was going and the impacts it was making? For example, you know, some funds will invest in firearms or tobacco or the sex work industry. And I think there's a lot of different places where people don't actually realize that their money is going when they invest. Like, even in KiwiSaver, people are shocked. I think there was a report that said that there was a large proportion of our communities that didn't actually know what their KiwiSaver was investing in. And I think it's like small things like that. Like, say if you have 10 grand in your KiwiSaver, you know, there are so many people with $10,000. You might not think it's that significant, but the impacts, if we all aren't actually looking at, you know, where our money is going, is important. So I think ethically, it's about what feels right for you as an individual. There's no right or wrong answer. Some people are okay with doing it. Actually, I listened to an episode, for the life of me, can't remember her name, but she was talking about this idea that she doesn't actually mind where she invests her money. Even if it's unethical, she'll invest in it. She looks for the highest return. And then what she does with the money she makes on that, she always makes sure it's ethical. So she runs a business, she hires women, she does a lot of things that are good for the community. And I think it's interesting to learn about how different people actually look at investing and how they're able to justify the decisions they make. But I think what's ethical and what's right for you is essentially the right answer, because everyone's different, everyone has different values.
I completely agree. We are all individuals who have lived different lives with different experiences, and that means we're all going to have independent values and a definition personal to ourselves about what is right and wrong. And I completely agree with you that you said something earlier about we can vote with our money. And there's a quote in Atomic Habits, which you might know, which I think says every decision is a vote for the person you want to be. And I think it also works the same for our communities, where every decision we make is a vote for what we want the world to look like, what we want our society to look like. And that can also be through our investments. And it's really easy to become demotivated by the thought of, what can I do as one person? How is my dollar going to make a difference? But actually, it's not about you and your individual dollar. It's about what your dollar is contributing to, and how all of our individual dollars are adding up to make a difference in some way. And so I think if that's what's holding you back from ethical investing, or investing more ethically, or looking into ethical investments, then know that any contribution is not just that is not just that contribution on its own. It is a part of a much bigger solution and a much bigger contribution from everyone. So I love that, and I love how you've decided to look into what is ethical for you. Could you repeat the name of the fund you'd said that was that vets all the different investments?
Yeah, it's Tahito, so T-A-H-I-T-O, and it's available on I actually don't know. I believe it's available on all the different investment platforms in New Zealand, but definitely for sure available on Sharesies. Yeah.
And are you someone that invests, like how do you invest? Do you invest every month? Do you invest every 6 months? What's your routine? Or are you investing right now?
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm currently not investing like in the stock market or anything. I put a hold on that a little while ago because I'm actually saving to buy a house. So I'm still investing
in
Kiwi Saver, making sure that I get my government contributions, which I know you do as well. It's so important. And I'm working at the moment, so, you know, I always like to keep it at the max that I can because it's just a great way to kind of remove that option for me to spend the money, because I find that when the money's coming into my account, you know, it's, you're more likely to be able to just go, okay, I want to spend it on this, and if it's there, I'm someone who struggles sometimes to be diligent and to actually put things in the right places, and so having it get removed before it comes to me is a helpful way to kind of force me into saving for my house. And so I use KiwiSaver a lot. That's helpful for forward planning for purchasing my first property. But in terms of the past and what I used to do is I used to dollar cost average into the share market, into managed funds or ETFs like Tahito. So that's something that has been really... I learned a lot during that process, but at the moment I've taken a pause so that I can save to invest in a bigger investment into property. And kind of the rationale behind that for me at the moment is around this concept of leverage and the ability to invest borrowed money. So, you know, obviously with the stock market, you can invest what you have, but with investing in things like real estate, you can invest borrowed money as well. And so for me at the moment, that's what I'm planning on doing. But obviously things change and things, but that's my goal this year is to buy my first house. I would love to be able to do it before I turn 21, but it's looking like it will be towards the end of the year, which I'll be 21 then. So yeah, that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Incredible. Buying a house at 21. I mean, buying a house at any age is an achievement, but buying a house at 21 is incredible. So amazing. I love that you have that goal. And I love that you have prioritized what investing is right for you right now, because, you know, you've moved on from one investment being in shares and in the stock market onto your first home. So how has your approach to investing developed since you've started multi-millionaire?
Oh, a lot, definitely. Because at the start, I knew a little bit about investing and I was more of this, you know, just give it a go. And so when I first started, there were times where I'd invest in individual companies and I didn't know what I was doing. And a lot of those just totally, you know, have lost out. And I hadn't done enough research at that beginning phase. And now I can understand that where my money goes is really important. And alongside that, kōrero or talking about ethical investing is that it is my responsibility as the person with the money to make decisions or the correct decisions about where it's going that feels right with me. And so that's more of an incentive to research what I'm investing in before I do it also. But in terms of changing since the start of Multi-Millionaire, I think one of the biggest ones was that I have always kind of been financially, well, since I moved out of home, I've been financially responsible for everything that I've paid for. And as a uni student, I actually think, was it during my second year, was probably a really good year because I was working and running the business and money was coming in quite regularly and it was good. My income was probably higher than actually the next, but when I went all out on Multi-Millionaire, I did that for 6 months full time. And it was just such an eye-opening experience of the realities of running a business and how, you know, everything is on your shoulders. And when I wasn't having different income streams, then I realized that maybe the business wasn't fully ready for me to be working full-time on it. And actually realizing that I kind of made this assumption, okay, if I spend more time in it, I'll be able to make more money. And so it's actually part of my approach has changed in that I need to do things to prepare myself for things. I can't just run into it and I can't just, you know, dive deep in it, which is what my initial kind of thoughts were. Like, I'm a very go-getter. I just like giving things a go. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And I've kind of realized now that a bit of forward planning, a bit of research is actually necessary to do things because, you know, life happens and things don't always work out how you want them to. But if you do some research, that helps you.
I'm smiling because I am the exact same. I am such a let's jump in the deep end kind of person. Every time I start to talk about financial foundations again, it's because I've understood and realized once again the importance of planning and being prepared. It's amazing how much it changes for your life. You wouldn't think, but yeah, it makes a massive difference. And is that kind of the approach you're now taking to buying your first home? Is like, okay, really putting the time into researching and figuring out what it is you want.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, especially with investing in property, I've met a lot of people who have made the wrong, well, I don't want to say the wrong decisions, but probably wrong for them. There's a lot of people I know who have to sell their houses now with interest rates, but they were buying bigger houses or better houses than maybe they actually needed at a time when they thought it would be okay. And what happened was that interest rates rose and they weren't able to keep up with that. And so I think learning from other people's lessons has been really helpful for me. So for me, it's about trying to get in, and I'm looking to buy in a small town, either Tokoroa or a different one, which house prices are really low. And my strategy at the moment, what I'm thinking about, is trying to get into some of the cheapest properties in the town in a relatively okay area. That means that my mortgage won't be as high, because if I went for, you know, a bigger house that had more, maybe more space or more room, or it felt nicer and stuff, that would be trickier to navigate when interest rates do rise or things like that. So that's something that I, you know, am factoring in.
I love it. It sounds like you have grown so much from the first time you would have invested to now, knowing exactly what you need to look at and what's important.
Yes, for sure. And I think one of the other things that I'm really looking at is talking to people who know this stuff, because, you know, I am still on this journey. I don't know a lot of things, but there are so many people who know 100 million times more than me, and being able to leverage their experiences, their mindset, and what they know has been super helpful. So I've been talking to a few different property developers and investors that I know, and just chatting to them and hearing their different ideas. One of the recent ones was actually around co-ownership. So I was talking to a friend who I talk to her all the time. I'm like, you know, it's just such a slow process of preparing to buy a house. And I was saying, I really just want to buy this house by myself, because I feel like it will be more of an accomplishment to buy by myself. And she was like, why don't you look at co-ownership models? And I was like, I just feel like it's more of an achievement by myself. And we were kind of chatting more about it. And actually, we thought this could actually be a colonized idea, that it's more successful to buy by myself, because that's very different from a Te Ao Māori perspective, where we believe in collective achievement. And so actually checking myself and the ideas and the thoughts that I had has been an important process in that. And I'm still learning so much every day, and being able to check myself, research, and just be open-minded towards different ideas, even if I don't think that they'll be right for me, because you can go down a route of learning about it without actually following through and taking that pathway. But once you learn about it, you can make an informed decision. So that's something also I'm working on.
I think that's so important what you touch on there around not only seeing success as a collective achievement rather than an individual achievement, because I think so many of us can relate to that in many areas of our life, career, you know, whatever it is. And it's an ideal that I don't enjoy at all, but I still feel just as much. Like, even with when I was traveling, we spoke about this on Te Kahu Kura's podcast just earlier, I was saying how I was doing it solo and I was really struggling, but the reason I kind of pushed through was because I felt like I had to do that on my own, like to prove I could do that and have some resilience and whatever else, I had to do it on my own. But why? Like, why? There's no other reason other than to prove something to myself and to others. For what? Like, what does it matter? There is so much power in collective achievement, I agree. So I think that's an important thing to highlight as well. And also your point around leveraging the knowledge of others. You know, you spoke about leveraging borrowed money earlier, and you can also leverage borrowed knowledge to help you get somewhere else and get the one up, so to speak, on your own life and who you are as a person. I think that's really important, surrounding yourself with a network of people who are knowledgeable. And that doesn't even need to be people you know personally, but books, resources, podcasts, whatever it is. Are there any books or podcasts that you have turned to that have really helped you with money generally?
There is one book that I'm looking at the moment, and it's Retire Young, Retire Rich by Robert Kiyosaki. I always refer to him, but I really like his resources. And this book basically talks about leverage from the different avenues you can get it. So leveraging debt, leveraging other people's mindsets, leveraging your own mindset, leveraging the other people's time, other people's money. There's a lot of different ways that you can leverage that I think lots of people don't actually understand or know or consider as an idea. So that's one thing that I look at. And the other one is actually using LinkedIn to connect with people who you wouldn't ordinarily be connected with. So I'm just a normal Māori girl. I don't know many investors. I don't know, like, in my personal life, in my family life, there's, I'm trying to think, no one in my family owns a business. No one actually there are investors in my family, but not many consistent investors in like these kind of things. And I think it's important to open ourselves up to different worlds. So LinkedIn is one way that I'm able to do that and connect with people who I don't ordinarily know. So that's another great tip for you guys. If you guys are wanting to connect with investors or business owners, or it's kind of like a little petri dish for all of these people who are doing cool stuff on LinkedIn, I feel.
I think you're exactly right. I sometimes don't like talking about LinkedIn because I feel like people brush it off as a cliche, but it's so underrated in terms of the access you can have to people and conversations. And even for this podcast, like, a lot of the guests I've had on this podcast have been through reaching out to people on LinkedIn through a message. And you can access people who might have more money than you, more power than you, whatever it is that you need or you want to be able to leverage, you can access those people a lot easier on places like LinkedIn. And I think there's no shame in taking advantage of that space and kind of building up your own personal brand in that sense, like you've done yourself. Tell us a little bit more about your portfolios in general. What investments do you hold at the moment?
Yeah, so I own a little bit of gold, not that much, but a bit, and it's something that I didn't know much about it actually until the end of last year when I started researching gold. So that was something that I've known actually some investors in gold, and I've never really bothered to listen to them or hear their stories about gold. And I think it's because my papa was a gold investor, and so he used to just kind of, you know, harp on about it, and I was like, oh, boring. Which I listened to a lot of things he said, but I didn't really listen to his information on gold, which is, I feel mean and I feel bad now, but I should have listened to him. But thank you, Papa, because I'm looking at it now, and I've done a lot of research on gold and how it holds value over cash, and I think that's an interesting one to consider. So I use Goldie to buy my gold, and that's a good one. But other than that, I've currently got my KiwiSaver. I did sell my shares because I'm buying a house or planning to buy a house. But at the moment, it's really just gold and KiwiSaver, I'm thinking. And then my business, really, I think that's another thing that I didn't really consider at the start of this journey, was that I often thought of assets as like other people's kind of stuff. Like, you know, you can buy shares in the share market, or you could buy property, all other people's stuff. I didn't really understand the idea that you can actually create your own assets by creating things like businesses, which can hold value, bring income in, and maybe eventually, which I don't plan on doing, but selling your business if that's something that you wanted to go down. So I think that's an interesting one too. So my portfolio is at the moment a combination of those things, and my KiwiSaver, so on shares. There's a tiny bit on cryptocurrencies in my KiwiSaver portfolio, some in, I don't know specifically all of them, I can't remember off the top of my head, but KiwiSaver is well diversified, and then the gold, my business, and then cash. That's what I've got at the moment, and that's what I'm working on growing, is specifically the cash savings so that I can get my deposit for my house, and then also work on the KiwiSaver too, because I plan on using that with the KiwiSaver first home grant so that I can get into my first house.
Amazing. Well diversified, soon to be even more diversified, and very well thought out as well. And so interesting to hear that. So thank you for being honest with us and letting us know, because it's really important that we all have that awareness. And for me, I guess it's only fair that I share as well. My portfolio at the moment sits exclusively across KiwiSaver and my general investments in shares and or funds, mostly rather than individual companies. And I have a very small investment in crypto, and I think it's, honestly, this is so bad, I don't even know what coin it is. I got gifted it as a birthday present, just $100, that's all there is. I was gifted it as a birthday present, and so that's my entire holding of cryptocurrency. And I think it's Ethereum. I don't think it's Bitcoin. I think it's Ethereum. So yeah, I have a small amount of crypto. And then I also have some gold as well. So Te Kahu Kura and I are both educator partners for Goldie, and I'll leave the links down below if you're interested in checking that out, because it is a really interesting asset in terms of its ability to keep diversifying your portfolio, of course, but also its stability as an asset as well, and what that can look like over time. So that's been an interesting one to get into. And also Goldie's focus on investing in real things and real assets has been quite an interesting journey to follow, because I think, you know, investments can be many different things. Like I was actually saying this last night to Jess, who I'm traveling with, that what can be considered an investment is really up to you in so many ways, because an investment is simply putting money or putting value into something with the expectation that it's going to return more to you at some point in time. And so you could just find many things as an investment. And I think as I grow my portfolio and learn more about what I value, it will be a very fascinating journey to see what makes sense about within my investments. But at the moment, it is pretty simple, and I just try to keep dollar cost averaging in a way that is sticking within my means, because I think before we start optimizing with our finances and investing, it's important that we have those financial foundations set as well. Do you invest in, or have you invested in any NFTs before?
Oh no, and I actually don't know much about them. So I haven't done any kind of significant research on them, but I do know that some of them can be quite volatile, but no, I don't have any investments in that. And just, yeah, with crypto, just a small bit in my KiwiSaver. But other than that, I don't really get involved with it. And if you get a message from a random TikTok account trying to sell you a crypto course, it is not me. Okay, it's not me.
Yeah, same for me as well. Oh my God, the scammers are prolific. Oh, it's so bad.
I wish I had that much time in my day.
Yeah, literally. And so did you say you have crypto in your KiwiSaver? Is that a part of your fund? Is that something you chose, or what the provider has invested in for you?
No, so with Coda KiwiSaver, you can go in and you can kind of select what you want your portfolio to be.
Yes. It's
really interesting, because growing up, I understood KiwiSaver to have three different options. You had a low risk, a medium, and a high risk, and those were the options I was taught about when I was like, when I first started my KiwiSaver account when I was like 14. That's what the bank teller told me. She was like, yeah, there's, you know, three options. I was like, okay, cool, check me on the high risk one, since I'm, you know, 14 years old. And then when I got a bit older and I started learning more about different providers, and that there were actually different options, I was like, wow, I never knew. Because I thought your bank did your KiwiSaver and that was it. But when I learned that there's so many different providers and so many different options for what you can actually invest in. And I think the time that I found that out was when I read that report that I said earlier. I can't remember the specific stats, but about many New Zealanders actually investing in like firearms and, you know, tobacco industries and all of these things. I was like, wow. And so I started learning a bit about that. So that was interesting. But yeah, with Coda KiwiSaver, you can separate them into different areas that you want to. So there's like clean energy funds and things like that you can choose, which is cool because it's your money.
Yeah, absolutely. That is cool. And especially with so many people often feeling a lack of control around investing with KiwiSaver in particular, being able to have that choice, I'm sure, is really nice. And so how would you, what tips would you give to beginners who are starting their investment journey and they're like, okay, we're talking about gold, we're talking about crypto, we're talking about shares. Like, where would you recommend they start just to learn?
I would definitely listen to podcasts before starting to invest, or reading as much as you can. You know, this is very generic kind of stuff. Do your research before you put money into anywhere. But I did want to kind of touch on like a few things that people sometimes forget to do before they start investing. So I think if you have like high interest consumer debt, you should probably work on paying that off before you start investing. Like, I've known a few people who have $10,000, $15,000 worth of debt, and they're paying, 10%, 15% sometimes for like cars online, but then they're investing in like the stock market. And so a simple kind of calculation to look at is, if you're not earning, significantly more than the interest that you're paying on this, then you're basically paddling backwards. So making sure that you're paid off high interest consumer debt, and that you have your emergency fund sort of before you start investing, because you don't want to sell to be able to pay for emergencies that come up. So just those are some key things to look at before you start investing. And then once you feel like you are ready to get started investing, I would probably write down on a piece of paper what is important to you. So what is your end goal when it comes to investing? Are you looking to build assets and have long-term growth in your portfolio, or are you looking to create another income stream with earning interest on it? So when we look at gold, for example, one of the cons of gold is that you can't actually earn anything other than the capital gains. Like, you're not earning any interest on it, you're not earning any dividends on it like you would in the share market. But there are other benefits to gold, like it maintains that value over the long period of time. So I would really look at what are your goals when it comes to investing. And then once you've got an understanding of where you're actually headed, you can kind of reverse engineer this and then start looking at what strategies you're going to take to get to where you want to go.
That is such an important point, actually understanding what you value first and foremost, because once you know that, it will dictate your entire strategy as well and make every decision a lot easier in terms of like what you actually want to invest in. And maybe it is easier to get started with something that you know as well. Like, if you know that a company is one you recognize and it's within a fund that is ethical and meets your values, maybe that's your place to start. Or if you want to start with something more stable that you feel secure in that isn't going to be as volatile, gold is probably a good place to start. Or it's starting in things that you understand that also align with your values is probably a good way to get practically started. But actually before that, as Te Kahu Kura was saying, gaining an understanding of why it is you want to invest, what it is you value, is going to make the decision of how you do it and what you invest in that much easier.
And I think if I had have done that probably at the start, I've always wanted to buy a house. And so if I had started when I was 18 saving for the house, because that's essentially what I wanted to do back then, also I didn't do that at the start. I kind of thought, okay, there are all these books I'm reading, they're saying you should invest and you should put your money to work and stuff, but I didn't actually know where I was headed to. And so I was investing consistently in things, but if you're not working towards something you actually want, it's hard to stay motivated or consistent in it. And so if I had started saving for my house then, that would have been cooler, because I would have been able to already be closer to it. So definitely look at what you're actually intending on doing with this portfolio of yours.
Because otherwise it's quite easy to get caught in the trap of like investing in something your friend or friend of a friend said that you should invest in, not actually what's right for you. And when those things don't work out, it's hard, because you feel at that point like you've got someone to blame, and so then you become more emotional about those decisions. Whereas if it was yourself, it's like, okay, I did the best I could with the information I had at the time.
Yes,
and I can forgive myself for that. What are your thoughts on alternative investments in general? Like, are you looking to build out your portfolio eventually to things like art or like collector's items? You know, your papa, he invested in gold, right? Mm. So what, and gold coins, you were telling me earlier.
Yeah.
So is that something you're also looking to do?
I think at this point, it's probably not a priority for me right now, but in the future, I feel like it's something interesting at least to consider doing. I've heard of a lot of people have a lot of positive experiences with this. And some other people, like even like Pokemon cards, I think is really interesting. Like some of those are worth a lot of money. And I'm the type of person who's like, what? That's like not traditional. You know, as you said, it's alternative. But it's definitely something I would look at researching more and possibly considering once I've got my house, maybe. I'm not sure. But I think it would draw back to that strategy. What is my end goal at the moment? It's, you know, getting into my first house. And then once I do that, I'll be able to develop a strategy for the next steps. What is the next goal after that? And what will help me to get there. And if collectible items are something on that list, then I'll look into that. But at the moment, it's about continuing to prepare for buying my first house.
I love it. I love how clear you are on that journey as well, because that is what will actually get you to the goal so much quicker as well, rather than just floating through thinking you should invest a bit here, a bit there, but then there's nothing you're working towards. And I can't really talk because I don't have a specific investing goal, but I do know that I do know why I'm investing, and I do know that I want to keep it consistent over time in the style that I'm currently investing in. And I review that as my lifestyle changes. And I think like once you actually have clarity over why you're doing it, like you do, it becomes that much easier as well. And for me at the moment, I'm in a situation where I don't have a lot of excess income to be investing or putting into things. And so it's important for me to be investing in things that are stable, that will grow over the long term, which is why my portfolio currently is sitting mainly in shares, independent of my KiwiSaver, and then gold as well. There are many common misconceptions about investing. What are some of the ones that you're hoping to debunk through Māori Millionaire?
Yeah, for sure. One of the biggest misconceptions about investing is that only rich people invest. And it makes me so sad that people genuinely believe this, but I think it's down to that education around financial literacy is often hard to come by. And we've obviously got awesome pages, your page too, that people can access, but there's still a lot of people who don't understand that investing can be done with, you know, normal people on normal kind of wages, and you can invest from as little as like $5, $10 a week. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. When I, you know, thought initially that you needed lots of money to invest, but you don't. You can start with something small, and that's something that I hope that more people will understand, because if you're able to, like you've said, dollar cost average over the long term, you can actually get yourself really ahead of people. And something that I think people don't understand is like rich people become rich because they spend their money in places that make it work for them. You know, some people will obviously inherit money, and some people are, you know, handed this money, but a lot of people actually slowly work on this over the long period of time. There are people who, you know, invest over like 40 years, and then eventually they're able to have quite a big portfolio, but it doesn't happen overnight. And if you are slow and consistent and you just, you know, have that why, have that goal, then eventually you'll get there. But you don't need to invest as a wealthy person. You can invest as just a normal person also.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think to put that into some perspective as well is like we often talk about getting started with just $5 or whatever, and I feel that people typically think, oh, what difference will that make? But it is actually the consistency that will get you to that goal, that compounding over time. And this is with any investment you make, whether it's into your mind or your wallet or your investment portfolio, you know, it is the compounding over time. And for me, at the moment, I'm investing $100 a month. So that is in the scheme of what I've invested in the past, in the scheme of what someone working full time might invest, is not much. For a lot of other people, that might be a huge amount of money every month to contribute to something like your investment portfolio. And so we're all at different stages. The key thing is that you are making the decision that is right for you at your stage, and is within your means for your financial situation. And at the same time, you know, you've gone and set up those foundations we've been talking about, so that you actually feel in control and empowered when you're making those investment decisions, not overwhelmed and demotivated.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to put it into perspective, because after struggling with a vaping addiction for 3 years, I worked out it was like $30 a week or something. And so, you know, that right there, you're investing what, you know, I used to vape. And I think I know a lot of vapers or smokers or anything like that, and I can't afford it. But if we look at our priorities and what we actually value, then a lot of the time, and I'm not trying to diminish that, a lot of people do struggle financially, a lot of people aren't making enough money to live, but some people do have enough money to invest, but they choose to spend it elsewhere. So I think that's a great, you know, idea for people. $100 a month, $25 a week, there are a lot of people who could afford that if they made different choices about where they were spending their money.
And I know you can help us all with that. So could you tell us a little bit more about the multi-millionaire workshops, resources, courses that you have on offer?
Yeah, so I just finished in March my Warren of Finance course. So I do it live online, and I know there's different ways I could do it, and I was considering whether I do a recorded version for the next time, but for the last two cohorts I did it live. It was a 4-week program where I took people through the basic fundamentals to personal finances, and then the last lesson was basically a 101 backstory to how I started my business and how I was able to essentially invest in my own asset and use sweat equity to get in there, because I had no money at that start period, but I was able to create a new income stream, which has essentially helped me to invest and save and all those other things. So that's one of them, is my Warren of Finance course, which I'm not sure when I'll be doing the next one. Haven't decided yet, but there is a link in my bio on Instagram to sign up to know when I release the next one. And then some other resources, I do workshops within organizations, workplaces or schools. It's called Becoming a Millionaire, and I basically talk about those fundamentals. Also, we do like a 2-hour workshop. I've traveled around the country being able to do this, which has been so cool. I've gone to places that I've never been before, like in the Wairarapa, which I had never been to, but I went and did a tour around the schools there, which was so cool to just meet people of different people with different experiences and share with them my story and my mission. So those are a couple of things that I have on offer at the moment. My Warren of Finance course, which isn't available at the moment, and then my workshops also.
Incredible. Definitely go and join the waiting list and sign up to receive those resources if you haven't. I'll leave all the links below as well. Thank you so much to Kahu Kura for joining me on this episode, for opening up, for your vulnerability, for sharing. It's always so appreciated. And like I had said on the episode we did on your podcast earlier, which I will also link below, you're doing incredible work, and I'm so proud of your growth, and being able to watch you and be a part of this journey of multimillionaire over the years has been so incredible. So just happy to be in your presence and really grateful for your time.
Thank you, Sarah, and same goes with you. You're awesome. I love your work and I love everything you do, so I'm so grateful to be able to chat to you and be on your podcast and for you to be on mine. So awesome, so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The One Up Project. If you want to find more stuff just like this, check out our other apps or follow us at The One Up Project on Instagram or TikTok. See you there.